thank you for joining us for today's message. We are so encouraged to know that God is using the ocean to impact your life through the ministry of the Word. Knowing that your life is being transformed is exactly why we exist. As our vision says, we exist to know Jesus and make Him known. So sit back, relax, and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to your life through this message.
We're beginning a sermon series simply titled, Heart of the House. You know, it's important if you attend a church that you know what your church is all about. Somebody say amen. It's important that you understand what the vision and the mission of the church is. And simply stated, the vision of the church is what a church does. The mission of the church is how the church does it. Okay, and here at the ocean, we have a vision statement and we have a mission statement. So if you're new to the church, you came at a really, really great time because for the next 5 weeks, we're going to be talking about the ocean and what we do and what we believe in. We're going to be talking about the heart of the house, why it is we exist. Somebody say amen. Because we believe that churches aren't just here to look good. They're not just here because they're supposed to be here. But that God has a purpose for the church. Jesus has a purpose for the church. And it's not just to come and warm a seat. The reality is the purpose of the church is lived out through the lives of its people. The purpose of the church is lived out through the lives of followers of Jesus. And so this church, the purpose of the ocean, doesn't get lived out unless you live it out. The purpose of the kingdom of God does not happen here on earth unless the followers of Jesus are sold out to it and make it happen. And so this morning we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about why our church exists. But what I want to do before we do that is just kind of give a little bit of groundwork for the idea of the church. I want to lay some groundwork for what the church is. Now, here's the deal. We understand this morning, and maybe you haven't ever heard this, but the church was not your idea. The church was not man's idea. The church was God's idea. In fact, it was Jesus in Scripture who was the first one who ever mentioned the word church. And we find it in the book of Matthew. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn there to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. I'm going to begin reading at verse 13. Matthew chapter 16, verse 13. And we're laying some groundwork for where the church began. Okay, why are we here? How did this all start? Here's how it started. Matthew chapter 16, verse 13 says, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? They replied, some say John the Baptist. Others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. But who do you say that I am? Asked Jesus. What about you? Who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered. He says, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. That's a statement. You are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. This simple little passage of Scripture has been so misinterpreted for years. And what I want to clear up this morning is simply this, is when Jesus says, upon this rock I will build my church, he was not speaking about the person of Peter. Jesus was not talking about the person of Peter. I mean, for real, how would you like for Jesus to look at you and say, okay, June, I'm going to build my church on you. It wouldn't be good. It wouldn't be good if he said that about any of us in this room. Because the moment I fall, the church falls. Hello? And so in reality, Jesus isn't looking at Peter and saying, I'm going to build my church upon you. Jesus is the cornerstone. Peter was a living stone. We are living stones, the Bible calls us, living stones. But Jesus is the cornerstone. What Jesus is referring to is not Peter, but the phrase that Peter spoke when he was asked, what about you? Who do you say that I am? And Peter says, you are the Son of God. You are the Messiah. You see, up to that point, this term Messiah was a big deal because everybody was waiting on the Messiah. The Messiah was the prophesied deliverer of all of the people. They were looking to the Messiah. They were looking for the Messiah. And there he was in their midst. And they didn't even realize it. And all of a sudden, Peter makes the statement, oh, you are the Messiah. You are the Son of God. You are the King of Kings. You are the Lord of Lords. There's no one. You are the one that was spoken of years ago. You are Jesus. You see, we read that and we don't think anything about it, but the reality is Peter was making one of the greatest statements that the world has ever heard. You are the Messiah. Without the Messiah, there is no church. What Peter spoke that day has become the groundwork for which you and I gather here this morning. Because if there wasn't a Messiah, Paul, we wouldn't be here. If there wasn't a Messiah, you wouldn't be sitting here this morning. There's no way, Megan, you from America and me from America would have to come all the way around the world to meet each other in Tanzania. But it's because there's a Messiah. And the Messiah has a plan. I want to do something really fast. I want to show people something. If you're not Tanzanian, okay? If you're not Tanzanian, I want you to stand up. Check this out. Check this out. How cool is this? Think about it. No. Don't sit down. Get up. Only the Messiah can do this. Only the Messiah can do this. If it wasn't for the Messiah, we wouldn't be here. And he said, Peter, upon this rock I will build my church. Upon the proclamation that you have stated, that I am the Son of God and the Messiah. Upon that proclamation, I will build my church. And he is. Somebody say amen. He is. You can be seated. I did that for a reason. Because if Jesus wasn't the Messiah and we didn't believe that, we wouldn't be here today. And I love our church, and I love the diversity of our church and the fact that we're not an American church, we're not a Tanzanian church, we're not an African church, but we are a church of Jesus Christ. I love that. I love it. I love it. I love it. I tell people all the time, there ain't no church like the ocean. You go to America, and I'm sad because there ain't no church like the ocean. This is a piece of heaven here on earth. I love our church. I love what God's doing. And what I love about our church is the fact that our church is founded and marches to this statement that Jesus is the Son of God, and Jesus is the Messiah, and Jesus is the center of it all. This is not my church. This is Jesus' church. The ocean belongs to Jesus. And when we look at Scripture, we realize that this is the very first place in Scripture where we see the word church. And the very first time that the word church is ever used in Scripture, it's used by Jesus. We must understand this morning that the church was God's idea. The church was Jesus' idea for changing the world. You're going to see that in a minute. And the word church that's used in Scripture comes from the original Greek word ekklesia. And that word ekklesia is really made up of two words. The first word ek, which means to come out from and to go to. Out from and to. The second word is the word kaleo, which simply means called. So when we talk about the church, we realize that the church is a group of people following Jesus who are called out from the world to follow Jesus. Now, I want to make sure that we understand this, because here's some of us get half of this right. If you're sleeping, you got to wake up because you're missing it. Don't make me come tap you on the shoulder if you're asleep. I will. If you know me, you know I'll get off this platform and come tap you on the shoulder. Ain't no shame in my game. To be called out from is only half of it. To be called to is the other half. And here's the problem with a lot of churches today. And a lot of followers of Jesus aren't really followers. They love the being called out part. They like to know that there is salvation from their sin. Whew. Don't have to pay for that. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Huh? Anybody look back and say, oh my gosh, thankful I don't have to pay for that. We like the idea of being called out from, being rescued from our stupidity. Anybody ever been rescued from your stupidity? Come on, raise your hand if you've been rescued from your own stupidity. Come on, that, we ought to have a whole lot of amens. Being called out from is great. Amen. We like the rescue part. The problem is that's where most churches stop. We become a bunch of fat cat Christians sitting in the house just thanking God that we ain't paying the price we should be paying. And that's our song. But the reality is that's only half the song. Because we're not just called out from, but we're called out to follow Jesus. You see, the Bible puts it this way. If you have your Bible, let's keep reading Matthew chapter 5. Let's go back a few pages to Matthew chapter 5. Here's what the Bible says. This is what Jesus says, okay? Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. We're talking about being called out from and called to. Talking about the church. This is what the church is supposed to be, right? This is a biblical groundwork for the church. Okay, we're laying a foundation for the church. Why are we here? This is the foundation of why we exist. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot." Verse 14 says, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others." Wow. Let your light shine before others. Can I ask you a question? Do the people at work know you're a Christian? Do the people you work with know that you follow Jesus? See, at first service, I got like three yeses. And then the proverbial. This service, I'm a little nervous because I ain't getting no yeses. All I'm getting is a And you know that ain't nothing but a guilty laugh. I got three kids, I know. Did you boys clean your room? Yeah. No, you didn't. All right. Do the people you work with, do the people you hang out with know that you're a Christ follower? It says, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and what? Glorify your Father in heaven. That's the purpose of the church. You see, it's one thing to come to church and become salty, to get lit up with Jesus. But if we don't go out in the world and stay salty and stay lit, ain't nobody going to know about Jesus. And the problem with a lot of churches is we can come here and we can be salty in church. And we can glow in front of people who already are glowing themselves. But that's pointless. It's pointless to turn on a light in a room where there's a light already on. The light only becomes effective when it's shining in the darkness. Called out from and called to. So here's my encouragement for you this morning. Stay salty. Stay lit for Jesus. Stay lit, never quit. Stay lit, never quit. We are the church. We're called to be salt and light in the world. We are in the world, but we are not of the world. We are not to be distant from the world, but we are to be distinct from the world. How we live and what we do matters. It doesn't matter what we call ourselves, but according to Jesus, what we do and how we live is what makes the difference. You don't just talk the talk. You got to walk the walk. If you're going to talk the talk, you got to walk the walk. We're called to be salt and we're called to be light. We're called to be distinct, but not distant. We're called to be different so that we can make a... We're called to be different so that we can make a... That's it. The purpose of the church is not just to meet on Sundays and say, amen. This really should be just a small part of what we do as a church. Are you with me this morning? Are you with me this morning? Are you sure? All right. Just making sure you're awake because you're kind of quiet. This should just be a small part of what we do. And I love it. Ain't nobody loves Sunday mornings like I love Sunday mornings. I love Sunday mornings. I love getting up and coming to the church and walking into chaos at 7 o'clock. Some people say that's insane, but I just kind of like it because I know the devil's fighting. And if the devil's fighting, that means he knows something's up. So bring it on, devil. Because you can't stop this church. He tries every Sunday. That joker just won't quit. He's persistent, but he's also dumb. Because he loses every week. Sucker. I love coming to church and seeing my family. I love coming to see Mama Esther. My Sunday morning's not complete unless I get a hug from Mama Esther. You guys think that's crazy, but I want you to know something, young people. I grew up in a home where we respected and we honored our elders and we loved them. They meant something to our world. And my life was forever changed because of the older people in my life that changed my life. And so when I come to church, I look for certain people. I'm not going to lie to you. I look for certain people to be there. When they're not there, I know they're not there. So when I come to church on Sunday, I want to see that beautiful lady right there. I want to hug her neck because she means the world to me. And if her generation didn't do what they did, you wouldn't be here today. Oh, come on. Now, that'll preach from one generation to the next. We're standing on other people's shoulders, church. Come on. You know, I love walking into church and June bug saying good morning to me. I love it. I love it. I love my friends at church. This is my world. And I love my church. I love coming here. But this isn't all there is to church. We've been called to do so much more than just to gather here. And so this morning, I want to talk to you about our church, The Ocean. I want to tell you about the heartbeat of our church. The heartbeat that God's given me as the pastor to share with you, the people, so that we can go and do what God's called us to do. We got to be who He's called us to be so that we can do what He's called us to do. God's got to be able to do things in us so that He can do things through us. And some of you, you're not allowing God to do things in you, so He's not accomplishing anything through you. Somebody say amen. Just be honest. Some of you in this room, I know you. I've known you since I've come here. Since 2014, all you've done is come and sit in church on Sunday morning, but you ain't lifted a finger to serve anywhere on a Sunday morning. When I first came here, our church was 275 people. Now we're 900. Some of you still ain't serving anywhere. Some of you have been here for 4 years, and you're still not in a Connect group. Here's the deal. I'm not mad at you, but I feel sorry for you. My heart breaks for you. You know why? Because you're not experiencing everything God has for you to experience. The fullness of God's glory comes from living out life in the church, not sitting and listening to somebody speak on Sunday morning. Go ahead. That's all right. That's good preaching. Come on. That's good preaching. I'm preaching louder than you're shouting this morning. My heart breaks because I know that God's got a plan for everybody. And the fullness of that plan is lived out in fulfilling God's purpose in our life. If we're not fulfilling God's purpose in our life, then we're not being fulfilled by the Lord. Our glass is half full. But I want your glass to be overflowing because it's the overflow of God's presence in our life that waters the world. And if our life's not overflowing, then we're not doing what God's asked us to do. So there's more to it, and that's what I want you to understand. Here at The Ocean, we believe there's more than just coming to church. Somebody say amen. Amen. And so here's our vision statement. A vision statement is what we do. A mission statement is how we do it. And so for the next few weeks, you're going to hear what we do and how we do it. And this morning, we're going to park right here on our vision statement. Now, some of you in this room, if I were to come to you, you ought to be able just to recite it back to me. If you've been here for more than a year, you should know this vision statement. If you serve on any of our teams, you should know this vision statement. And if you're a leader and you don't know it, you should be fired. Every board member should know it. Every ministry leader ought to know it. Brian? Yeah. You're just sitting there. It's easy. The Ocean International Community Church exists for and is dedicated to leading people to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ where they are passionately committed to knowing Him and making Him known. Pastor Jimmy, how do you know that? Because I eat, sleep, and breathe it. That's why. This is my life. I believe in this so much that I've given my life to lead people to a relationship with Jesus where they are passionately committed to knowing Him and making Him known. You could put this on my grave and I'd be happy because I believe in this so much. The church is not just about sitting here. We have a purpose. There's a plan for the church. And it's the redemption of man through Jesus Christ, the Son. But if we don't share it and we don't show it, how are they ever going to know? So this is why we're here. We are here to lead people to a personal relationship with Jesus. We are here so that people can walk hand in hand, find Jesus, the Messiah, the Savior of the world, and be in a personal relationship with Him. Not just something that they hear somebody talk about, but a genuine relationship with Jesus. He didn't love you and save you for you to sit. He loved you and He saved me so that I could walk in relationship with Him. Personal relationship with Him. He's not just my Savior, He's my friend. And our heart is that everyone who comes to the ocean would discover that Jesus is personal. Jesus loves us, and Jesus wants a relationship with us. Not just based on what we do, but who we are in Him. Jesus is more concerned with our being than He is our doing. Think about it. What you've done this morning is you've come to church. But are you a Christian? Coming to church doesn't make you a Christian. If I go to the Toyota store down the street here and sit in the middle of their showroom floor, I am not a Toyota. No matter how much I want to be a Toyota, I'm still going to be a human. Going and sitting somewhere doesn't make you something. That may be a good place to be, and I think we are. But just because you come to church doesn't mean you're a Christian. What makes you a Christian is the fact that you surrendered your life to Jesus and you're following after Him. And we do that through a personal relationship with Jesus. He doesn't care about what we do as much as He cares about who we are. Because reality is this: what we do flows from who we are. Your actions are just a reflection of your heart. My actions are just a reflection of who I am inside. Does that make sense? So we have to walk into a personal relationship with Jesus. And that's our heart at the ocean, is to lead everyone into a personal relationship with Jesus where they become passionately committed. We want a church that's excited and on fire for Jesus. I want to be passionately following Jesus. I don't want you. Oh, Jesus, Jesus. Oh. Nobody wants that. Nobody wants to be that person. We're passionately in love with Jesus, okay? Whereby we're committed to knowing Him, not just about Him, but knowing Him. And if you really want to know about Jesus, find Him here. Stop reading everybody else's words about Jesus and just read His own. If you ain't read any other book this year, you need to read this one. I don't care what people say about Jesus. If I've not read what Jesus says about Jesus, it doesn't matter. To know Him and to make Him known. To be salt and light in the world. It's not enough just to know Him and to be selfish with Him, but we've been called to make Him known. We've been called to make Him known. But that's a whole nother level. Not only do your friends at work know that you're a Christian, but they hear you talk about Him all the time. Do you testify to the greatness of God to your friends? Do you tell your friends everything that Jesus does for you? Do you tell them about His love for them? Do you tell your friends about Jesus' love for them? Do you tell the people that you know in your world who don't know Jesus that Jesus Christ is a Savior? Do we make Him known? Do you make Him known? Do we as a church make Him known? Well, I got news for you. As pastor of the ocean, I am more and more convicted that we got a whole lot of making Jesus known left to do. You get a lot of amens there, Ben. People just kind of sitting there going, oh, crud. until the whole world knows. Until the whole world knows that Jesus loves them. Until the whole world knows. Look at your neighbor, say, until the whole world knows. We got to stay lit until the whole world knows. Until the whole world knows. So this sermon series, I wanted to do something a little bit different. The heart of the house really is best communicated from the heart of its people. If you really want to know the heart of the ocean, then you need to hear it from people who have embraced the heart of the ocean and see how it's changed their life. Now, at the ocean, we have tons of people who've embraced our vision and our mission, and you can see it in their life. And so each week, I'm going to be interviewing a different person. Don't be upset if it's not you. Don't feel like, oh, I'm not any good, a pastor doesn't love me. That's not the deal. But I'm just randomly picking people that I know that God's bringing to mind when I think about these things. And I don't want you just to hear it from me, but I want you to hear how people are embracing the vision and mission of our church and how it's affecting their life and how it's affecting the future of others. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this church. We thank you for what you're doing in this church. We thank you, Lord, for the breath of life that you breathe into our church to each person, Lord. We thank you for the ocean past, for the ocean present, but even more for the ocean future. Father, we believe without a shadow of a doubt that what you're doing now is just to prepare us for what you want to do later. So Lord, I pray that we take this message home today and we look in the mirror and we ask ourselves, who do I say that you are, Jesus? Who are you in my life? Am I passionately committed to not going to church, Jesus, but to knowing you? Do I know you? And am I making you known? Can we go home and ask ourselves those three questions, Lord? Help us to be honest, because we know that your heart's desire for us, Lord, is to know you and to make you known. To be passionately committed to and in love with you. Because Jesus, you are passionately committed to and in love with us. So God, let us embrace that. Let us embrace our church. Let us embrace what you're doing and what you desire to do in the days and the months to come. Father, we thank you for your son, Jesus. We thank you for the Ocean Church. Bless us as we go today. In Jesus' name.